I just wanted to start before we introduce the next guest is you guys miss something by not being in the studio with Eric, man, because when he put the tracks on, he's like dancing. It's great. It's like John Travolta, but with better politics.
Thanks a lot. It was really good. I'm John Travolta. That's, I like that. So, yeah, come on to the studio and dance with us, me and Damon, and with Maggie LaPeak. Just driving it out there. Hey, Anja Miller, how you doing?
All right. How are you doing, Eric?
Good. We're happy to have you on the show. Anja's the program director for Redefining Progress. We've been working together on a climate justice campaign. Anja, you got about 10 minutes. We were happy to squeeze you in at the last minute. We'll have you on again. Tell us, as I understand it from Francisca Porches, who works with the Strategy Center, you're already up. Are you calling from Sacramento?
I am indeed calling from Sacramento, and I just finished giving testimony.
Great. So explain that. As we understand it, the short story is that Arnold Schwarzenegger has some at least vague plan to dramatically reduce emissions, and specifically greenhouse gas emissions, by year 2050, allegedly by 80%. The hearings that were held today, public hearings, were held at the initiative of corporations feeling that there were some unfair restrictions being placed on them. But in return, grassroots groups were also given a chance to speak. Is that correct?
That's right. There are three levels of targets that the governor has put forward. By 2010, reducing it to 2000 levels, 2020 to 1990 levels, and then, as you mentioned, quite a significant reduction, 80% by 2050. You know, our goal is to really make sure that those long-term reductions are the ones that they really push for. And also to make sure that they do it in a way that is meaningful and that protects low-income and people of color communities in California.
Briefly, you have a report. Did you talk about your report today? And did the governor show up, or who showed up from the governor? So who are you even talking to, and what did you tell him? What did you tell the man?
So this is the governor didn't show up. He sent his folks to do it for him. It was Alan Lloyd,
yes,
who's with the Cal EPA and a panel of Cal EPA, CARB, and other officials like PUC. So we released, Redefining Progress released a report called Climate Change in California, Health, Economic, and Equity Impacts. And what we found was that California faces an uncertain environmental and economic future. And that means that immediate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions are imperative to save lives, jobs, and the environment. So the data really is quite alarming. Climate change poses lifelong threats to life and well-being for the most vulnerable people in California. For example, for Los Angeles, heat-related deaths and sufferers of respiratory ailments like asthma are particularly important and are projected to increase. If global warming continues unchecked, nearly 1,200 people could die yearly in Los Angeles from heat-related causes by the end of the century. Now, to put that in perspective, those deaths were only 165 annually during the 1990s. Other projected impacts, higher prices on food and electricity, especially impact low-income people. Job loss will occur in industries with high percentages of people of color, such as agriculture and tourism. And the increase in extreme weather events, such as heat waves and flooding, will impact all of California, but particularly low-income and people of color communities who disproportionately lack access to health care, are often renters without property insurance, and live in substandard housing. So this all leads us to say to our government, we need to take steps for immediate deep reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. Those reductions should be mandatory and enforceable. They must also be real so that polluters reduce emissions in California, where residents can benefit the most, and not just by planting trees in some remote part of the world. And that said, we should take actions like expanding and funding public transit systems at adequate levels, which could keep thousands of off roads and expand mobility for low-income Californians.
Well, let's talk a little bit about which is good. I mean, everything you said is good. Your report is important because I know it focuses a lot on the health and economic effects of it. Let's assume for a minute that the public has a growing understanding, without knowing all the details, that global warming is for real. And the anecdotal information we have on the buses is that people are surprisingly literate, that they know about everything from the decline of bird species in Antarctica. They understand the impact on themselves. They care about third world countries from where they come themselves. So actually, the consciousness has exceeded the mainstream environmentals, not effective that way, public education campaign. That is to say, let's assume that there's a potential for a movement here. But now the question is, what are the specific plans? And we might disagree, so I want you to say, why do you think that carbon trading is a good idea? Because I at this point don't.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that carbon trading is a good idea per se. What I think needs to happen is that polluters need to pay. We shouldn't have grandfathered permits, or we shouldn't be able to have polluters just get windfall profit, which is really what could happen if some of these systems go through, is that these polluters can actually benefit from this. So what I think really needs to happen is that we have some system that meaningfully reduces our greenhouse gas emissions and then makes polluters pay for it. So right now we're living in a cap-and-trade environment. I mean, that's the policies that's on the table right now. So where Redefining Progress enters that debate is to say, look, if you're going to have this kind of system, you got to auction off the permits, not give those give the money to the polluters, because at a national level, that could be $300 billion, which the industry right now is pushing to just be given to them as a right. And instead, what we need to be doing is auctioning that off and giving those monies back to the people. And that could be done through a healthcare system. That could be done to help low-income families with home energy assistance programs, all sorts of things like that.
Well, we'll keep talking. Let me tell you my short concern, and you and I know, are going to work as allies as we continue to refine our own demands. I don't see why we don't simply say, you don't do it. That is to say, you know, this is the big law and order crowd. So basically we say to a company like Texaco or Chevron or Halliburton, there's going to be restriction on the amount of greenhouse gas that you can refine, restriction on how much you bring to the market. There's a restriction on how much you can gouge based on a reduced supply. There's a restriction on the mileage on your cars, that is to say we need 35 and 40 and 50 miles per gallon. There's a restriction on how many cars can be on the road in L.A. We don't want 8 million, we need 4 million. We want water-free zones. We want buses that run on the freeways, which the MTA won't give us. We want bus-only lanes. Why can't we, in other words, if we keep just saying this is what we want, this is what it's going to take, why do we want all these corporations trading back and forth? And you know one of the problems is, who in the world in this age of corporate fraud can monitor the actual accuracy of who's trading what carbon to the other? Isn't the fact that both parties are going to exceed their limits anyway, and grassroots groups like us won't be able to be strong enough to monitor it?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, a lot of those are good points, and I agree with doing a lot of those things that you talk about. You know, there are a couple of things. One is, if you just say, put restrictions on, oil companies, for example, from producing oil, what you've done is basically said, whoever is producing that oil gets a scarcity rent. So they just all of a sudden get, a windfall profit. And especially if we're not pumping funds into renewable energy technologies. And what they're going to do is just pass that cost onto the consumer. If you just do some sort of mandatory thing like that. And so there's got to be some way to help low-income consumers in this transition, because we're talking massive cuts here. And then if you do something like that, I'm not a proponent necessarily of trading. There are a lot of problems with it. But you could do it in the form of a tax. Tax is a dirty word, not only in California, but at the federal level. So it could, be a charge or a fee. And essentially, an auction is the same thing. Now, in terms of enforcing, you got the same issue there with trading that you do with any other enforcement mechanism, is that, you know, lots of polluting companies have restrictions on them, and they just keep polluting. So it's not necessarily a problem with the way that the system is set up, with the trading per se. It's a problem with the enforcement mechanism. So
you're essentially saying whether it was command and control or whether it was trading credits, if the system is fundamentally corrupt, we don't know if they're going to enforce either aspect.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, Anjay, we just got you in. Just for our listeners to know that the Strategy Center and Redefining Progress, we're allies. We have these debates all the time, and these are good, constructive debates. End with telling folks how to get your report, because your report's really important, and you have about a minute. So do the infomercial, get all the information out, and we'll have you on for 30 seconds. So do it. Tell us what to do.
RedefiningProgress.org. Go to the home page, and you can download the report there. I'd also like you to check out EJCC.org. That's the Environmental Justice and Climate Change Initiative, which is a coalition of environmental justice groups around the country coming together around the issue of global warming from a social justice perspective.
Okay. Thank you, Anja Miller. We also like to thank our other guests, Kathy Feng and Sergeant DeLacy Davis. You can send comments to voices at thestrategycenter.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, production assistant, Lisa Adler, our engineer, Maggie LaPique. We'll see you next week with Voices from the Front Lines. This is Eric Mann and Damon Azali. Also inviting you to check out the strategy session with Antonio Gonzalez at 8 p.m. Up next is Beneath the Surface.